This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And I'm here today in the living room of Tony and Patsy Caminetti in Brisbane, Australia, where God has sent this little missionary girl. When I first met you, Patsy, and we counted up the years, oh my goodness, how many years ago, you were a young Rhema student, but you had the missionary call on your life.
Yes.
You were a missionary.
Yeah.
You are a missionary.
Yeah.
You have lived in your lifetime in what countries as a missionary?
15 years ago, we moved to Sicily. We were there for 2 years, then Rome for 4, and then in northern Italy, in between Venice and Verona for 3. From there, we moved to Singapore, and we were in that blessed country for 4 years. And now we're in our new home that we love very much, Australia.
You know, Patsy, this is my 8th trip to Australia.
Yeah.
And I have come to Australia all those times because of what I heard from Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin.
Yes.
And what I heard from David Duplessy.
Right.
And what I believe that Wigglesworth prophesied, he did indeed prophesy that there would come a great move of God, a sweeping move of God. Even if he didn't prophesy that, the Bible tells us the church is going to be a glorious church.
Absolutely.
And Jesus said to the apostles and the people, his followers, the disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to become my witnesses.
Right.
To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We are in the uttermost part of the earth from Jerusalem.
Yes.
And in the Wigglesworth prophecy, there was that this is the uttermost part of the earth, and it
right.
would know a great sweeping move of God. Now, Patsy, I believe that you and Tony mm-hmm. and your daughters, oh my, what wonderful daughters they have, 15 and 13.
15, yes.
What good children they are. I said, Patsy, I'm going to brag about these girls everywhere. Annalisa, the youngest one, said to me in the car, I want to cook for you while you're here. And it's just a delight. Every day when they come home from school, they are delightful. They love to sit and listen to stories.
Oh, they love stories.
And so...
Stories that you have. Oh, my goodness. They love stories of God.
And you would like that, too, because your yeah. dad and mom brought you up in a home. Your dad, a pastor.
Yeah.
You are a missionary because your dad and mom love missionaries,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, yes. Last night, while we were eating at the table, you know, and you were sharing stories and the Word and the times that we're in right now, I saw myself in my daughters.
That's how it was when you were young.
That's the way it was. And we would just sit spellbound listening to how God moved and intervened and led oh, supernaturally.
Yes.
It was a part of our bread.
It was a part of our bread.
Yes.
And Patsy, this week we're going to be talking about Brother Kenneth Hagin because
yeah.
you and I got to know him very
right.
well, very closely. I thank God every single day.
Yeah,
I have
too.
These little debates. What did I learn from him the most? Well, I guess faith is the most wonderful thing I learned from him. And then I'll say, well, I think the most wonderful thing was the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then I'll think, well, I think maybe the best thing I ever learned from him was the integrity of the Word.
Right.
How that you can think God's thoughts after him.
Right.
And God and his Word are the same.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then I think, oh, well, I think maybe the best thing that I ever learned from him was how you can be led by the Spirit of God. And so I had these little debates with myself. What did you learn? What is the best thing? But you know, Patsy, when it came time for me to leave Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and God told me from the very first when I came there, I was called to preach.
Right.
And I actually had a visitation in my office, an angelic visitation one day when I was working on the book, The Woman Question.
Right.
I said, oh God, you mean I can preach the gospel and not get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ? My denomination had said that. And the Lord said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
But he said, you don't know anything. And I've been born again for 20 years when I got filled with the Spirit. You don't know anything right now, and this is your Bible school.
Yes.
Well, we didn't have Rhema Bible Training Center yet, but I was the editor of Kenneth Hagin, and it was my job to take his teaching and put it down on paper.
Isn't
so
that
you
something?
Can imagine what a blessing that was to me.
Yeah.
And so, but many of the, when it came time to leave, and the Lord told me, you have to go now, I didn't mind leaving my work. I was eager to go out and preach the gospel all over the world.
Yeah.
But I hated leaving Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
You remember I had those two yellow chairs in my
oh,
office?
Oh, yes, those marigold chairs.
And he would come and sit down in those chairs. And sometimes if he had a visitor, like, he would talk. And sometimes if he had like Oral Roberts one day.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get away from his office because people knew where to find him there.
He'd bring.
So he'd come in my office and he sat in one chair and Oral Roberts sat in the other. And they talked about the greatest miracles they'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought,
oh, that's so wonderful.
I've died and gone to heaven. I'm sitting here. I kept my mouth shut and listened to the greatest miracles. And they both said that the greatest miracles they'd ever seen was Jack Coe.
Yeah.
In his ministry.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that. Tell us something, Patsy. Some of the stories that he's told you or some of the things he told you.
I think sharing his heart and desire for healing and going over the healing stories.
Ah.
Sometimes in a little bit more slowed down way. And I had two chairs in my office, too.
You were smart.
And, you know, he opened the healing school in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Faith Creation, which was the singing group in those days.
You were in it, yes.
I was in it.
The leader,
and,
maybe.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, but a lot of them were getting married in those days. And I wasn't, so they needed someone. He needed someone to stay on and help him. So I did, and... That was really wonderful. We would go over different things about healing and just walk through. But I remember him talking again as we would go over the prayer and healing school grounds before the foundation even while it was being built. And he would walk on it and talk about God's desire for healing.
God's desire.
God's how that healing ministry was so important to God. And how he got in trouble for not obeying the call of God on his life and withholding that healing ministry from the people that Jesus wanted to get it to. So that was very dear to me. And he shared about different ways and operations of the Holy Spirit to diagnose people rather than just the doctrine of healing. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're able to diagnose not just the sickness, but sometimes the cause of the sickness.
Would this be by gifts of the Spirit?
Would be by gifts of the Spirit. And through being developing a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it would be because of grudges, holding on to strife. It's amazing how strife provides a branch that sickness can perch on, and if people could let go of that. And so healing school provided a wonderful place of learning.
You were ahead
learning.
Of that.
Yeah. And,
under him, of course.
Yeah. And just getting to see him work with the Holy Spirit with those people in those days when he used to teach in healing school mm-hmm. was amazing.
Oh, every day.
And seeing that woman, remember, she had that tube that went down her nose and into her stomach because she had a thyroid operation. And the doctor accidentally slid her esophagus in the operation. And there were 10 subsequent operations after that to correct what had been done. And she hadn't been able to eat in over 2 years any solid food. And so she had a tube that went down her nose. She was sitting out in the middle of the healing school room, and the glory of God filled that room. I still remember it. I sat sitting on the or standing on the platform. We were worshiping God. She pulled that tube out of her nose. Cause
you saw her do it?
I didn't see her pull it out. I just knew the power of God was. I saw her in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the presence of God was so powerful in that room. But I saw her the next day when she came back after having eaten 2 Mexican dinners at the Monterey House across the street.
She went over and ate 2 Mexican dinners?
Two
she
Mexican
wasn't able
dinners.
To eat anything before.
Uh-uh. And that and then just seeing him move, not just only in the teaching of healing, but minister healing to people. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it was really wonderful, and sometimes it was an adjustment in somebody's life, but sometimes it was also the sickness had been enforced by a spirit, and he would take authority over the spirit, and then the sickness was.
And he would diagnose the trouble by the gifts of the Spirit, right?
Yeah,
by himself Yielding to the Holy Ghost.
Yielding to the Holy Spirit. So I would go up and down the healing line with him. And he'd come to somebody and it would be normally, you know, in the name or be healed or, you know, a command more like that. And but sometimes he would deal with the spirit. And then he would ask me, did you sense that? Later on, we'd kind of
talk
debrief.
About it later.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that I would have even looked. But having somebody, you know, just kind of walk through it, then you learn to check. And you think, oh, that's a spirit.
Yes.
Where you sense maybe a resistance or something, mm-hmm. and you learn to be able to discern what it is.
Well, you know,
you sense.
Patsy, his ministry healing and how important it was to God. In this book, I Believe in Visions.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that people read Brother Hagin's teaching books, but they haven't often read this book.
Oh, my.
I Believe in Visions. Brother Hagin's life and ministry was marked by open-eyed visions
yeah.
of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, one of the first ones came in 1950 in September when he was preaching in a tent meeting, actually Lynette Hagin's father's tent, Brother Tipton.
Right.
And they were praying one night, and he heard a voice say, come up hither, come up hither, come up hither to the throne of God.
Mm.
And he looked up to the top of where the tent pole should be, and there stood Jesus. And he took him up to the throne of God. That is one of the first visions that's in this book. And Jesus laid the finger of his right hand in the palms of each of his hands.
Right.
And gave him a special anointing to minister to the sick.
Yeah.
Now you remember Brother Hagin himself had been born. And in this book is all this story.
Oh yeah.
He had been born very sickly. Mm-hmm. Had been gotten sicker and sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on the deathbed dying when he, through the word of God, Mark 11, 23 and 24, received his healing.
Yeah.
But someone asked me, did Brother Hagin ever preach about the end times? And I said, oh my goodness, he was an end time minister. God appeared, Jesus appeared to his mother and told him he would have a part in preparing the body for the coming of the Lord. Please get this book from us at 1-800-972-3447. Order it from 1-800-972-3447 or Post Office Box 40, Branson. Now, I want you to know that Tony and Patsy are missionaries, and they need missionary support. You can support them by writing Caminetti Ministries, Box 35337. That's 35337, Canton, Ohio, 44735. So please remember to pray for Patsy and Tony.
Oh, yes.
And remember to support their ministries and write them a letter and tell them you heard them. Caminetti Ministries, Box 35337, Canton, Ohio, 44735. Remember, we are going to offer this week Brother Hagin's books, I Believe in Visions, at a special price. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.